Welcome everyone to our worship today, coming to you again by YouTube and Facebook. Now hopefully next week the church building will be open again and hopefully we'll be able to live stream our worship once again. Hopefully. Hope is an important word, particularly as this is Advent Sunday. Hope is believing things will change for the better and that there is a brighter future ahead for all of us. So our first song today is Thank You God for Saving Me, sung by our own worship group. The second verse says, Rock of Salvation, my hope is built on nothing less. So at home right now, I just encourage you to worship God. Know his love for you and his presence with you wherever you may be right now.
What can I give to you? What can I offer to the King? For all the love you've shown, for all your mercy over me, I got your name. You heard my cry out of the grave and into life. My heart is yours, my soul is free. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for saving me.
The rock of salvation, my hope is built on nothing less, morning by morning. How great is your faithfulness, I called your name. You heard my cry out of the grave and into life. My heart is yours, my soul is free. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for saving me. Your life upon the cross, you suffered once for all, you made a way. Jesus, in victory you rose, you made us all your own, now we are saved. You gave your life upon the cross, you suffered once for all, made a way. Jesus, in victory you rose, you made us all your own, now we are saved. Thank you, God, for saving me.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God, for saving me.
Thank you for the cross.
Thank you, God. For saving me.
For saving me.
I got your name. You heard my cry out of the grave and into life. My heart is yours. My soul is free. Thank you, God, for saving me.
Thank you, God,
for saving me. Thank you, God, for saving me.
For saving me.
I'm going to light the first Advent candle here in church this morning. And if you want to, you could also light a candle at home. And there are some words that you can join in with that have been printed in the weekly bulletin sheet. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in a land of deep darkness, a light has shined. We join with sisters and brothers around the world lighting candles to mark our steps in this Advent journey. Today we will light the candle of hope. Even though the world seems dark and cold, we know that the light of Christ is coming. God will shine, and all of creation reconciled to new life in him. Together we proclaim to the world that in Christ we have hope. So as we light our Advent candle, light of the world, shine on us. In this world of pain and darkness, light of the world, shine through us. And as we meet here with you today, light of the world, light the way. Some prayers for Advent Sunday, some prayers of thanksgiving. Father, we thank you for the hope with which you have filled our lives. We give thanks that in the coming of Christ, you have given us assurance of your sovereign control over all things. Thank you for this Advent Sunday, when we remember not only the coming of Christ to be the Saviour of the world, but also the promise of his coming again as Lord of all. Thank you for the hope with which Christ fills our lives. In our times of doubt and despair, the message of his coming, his birth, life, death, and resurrection reassures us and renews our hope. Thank you that because of Christ's coming and the promise of his coming again, we can live each day to the full in the knowledge that you are with us and that ultimately you hold all things together, including ourselves, in your mercy, love, and care. Lord, come and come again. Come into your world. Come into our lives that we might have hope. In Jesus' name, amen. And a prayer of confession. Lord, forgive us our daily acts of faithlessness, the anxieties that cripple our lives, and the sense of hopelessness that hinders our growth. Forgive us our fear, which prevents us from speaking out or from telling the good news of Jesus to others. Forgive us our weakness, which causes us to let you down, and our bitterness, which makes it harder for others to find you. Forgive us our hard-heartedness, which crushes hope for our neighbour, and our self-centeredness, which causes you pain. Take hold of our lives all over again. Make us a source of hope, joy, and confidence for those who need our faithfulness. And by your Spirit, enable us to be beacons of your light and love. We join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer, in whichever version you'd like to say it, but I'm going to use the modern form. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen.
What is lockdown, babies?
Well, it isn't tying them to a playpen, as somebody has suggested. What is it, Sarah?
So, basically, it's a group for new parents with small children who've had babies during 2020, so during lockdown, recognising that there's not been much that they could attend physically, but actually they've had a really difficult time, potentially just lonely, isolated, not the experience they were hoping for in some cases.
Yeah, one of them went, "This wasn't how I planned my maternity leave at all." And she really felt she'd missed out. So, Sarah, what do we do?
So, basically, between us, we ran a group last year, and we were planning to do another one in the spring, weren't we, Chandra? But we got locked down. So as soon as restrictions really allowed for group support groups to restart, we sort of put some feelers out to see if anyone would be interested.
And we didn't need to do very much. With a very, very little advertising, we got 8 people signed up, and we've had a consistent 7, really, and already have got more wanting to come.
Yeah. So basically, a typical session would look like mats laid out at a very reasonable distance on the floor, individual little sets of equipment, depending what the session theme was, a bit of an informal welcome, then a more slightly more checking up on everybody, sort of chance for everyone to say how they actually are, maybe a bit of a prayer, again quite light touch, but bringing Christian stuff into it, and
well,
then the theme is.
And I mean, we used some Christian books in the programmes, and we looked at the subjects of love and communication, prayer,
light and dark.
That was a fun session, wasn't it? With all the babies looking at the sparkly lights in the water. We were thinking about baptism and how Jesus is the light of the world. I think it's really amazed me how these basically non-Christian mums have really engaged with the material.
Yeah, really positive. We did ask for feedback, and we've asked, you know, how could we improve, but actually on the whole they were just so pleased that they've managed to get to meet some people in the same situation, and that sense of community was there even from the first week, but actually it's really developed.
It's really grown. That last session was very impactful. It was just, we're anxious, we're lonely, we've missed things. So this can't be the end of lockdown babies, can it?
No, definitely not.
So we're seeking other people to get involved. More knitted teddies, they were very popular. And your support and prayers.
Our Gospel reading today is taken from Matthew's Gospel, part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's from Matthew chapter 5 and beginning at verse 14. "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and give your Father in heaven the glory." A few weeks ago in lockdown number one, some of us recorded for a bit of fun, I suppose, the song My Lighthouse. Now, I know that the song is enjoyed by many people, but other people really dislike it. I like it. I do. I think the imagery of Jesus being the lighthouse, the one that guides us safe home, like the harbour lights guiding a ship safely back to shore and back home, is a useful one in many ways. And maybe I'll unpack that a little bit later on in our service. So here from earlier on in this year is our version of My Lighthouse.
In my wrestling, in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness. To show
A number of years ago now, I asked a group of Sunday school children to design for me their perfect church. What would their perfect church look like? And what would their church have within it? One little boy decided that what was really needed was some five-a-side pitches so that they could all play football together. Another little girl decided that what was needed was a swimming pool in the church. I reasoned that it could double very well as a baptistry, so maybe, yes, a swimming pool was okay. Continuing with the leisure centre theme, one child decided that what was needed would be some vending machines with Coke machines and sweets coming out. Others focused on the comfort of the church, that hard pews were out and what was needed would be comfy settees with cushions. This was long before any idea, of course, of COVID-19. And I wonder where you're sitting watching this right now. One little girl went a little bit further and even decided that she'd put, instead of pews, beds, so that you didn't even need to get up out of bed to listen to the service. Others thought that what was needed would be the preachers, dealing with the preachers. So one decided that there would be a remote control, that they control the volume of the preacher and turn him off or her off if they wanted to. One went a little bit further and maybe guided by some television programs, thought that a trap door under the local preacher or the preacher was what was needed, over a pit of gunge and slime, that if they disapproved of the preacher, click. I wonder what your idea then of the perfect church might be. If you were the architect building a new church, what would it include? Jesus, and in fact the New Testament, use all sorts of different images when it comes to church. Church is something new. There's never been church before. This is something revolutionary, something really new on the agenda. There's been synagogue, but church isn't synagogue. It's different. So in order to try and describe it, the New Testament uses various images. And in that reading from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus uses a couple of images there. He talks about a city on a hill. Maybe you can imagine a long journey. It's dark, very dark in Jesus' day. And you come round the corner of a bend, and there before you lies the city. The streets are ablaze. The lights in the homes, in the windows and the doors. It's welcoming and it's safe. Your journey is over. And Jerusalem was that city on a hill, Mount Zion. At certain festivals during the year, the temple in the center of the city would have been ablaze with light, shining through the darkness. There would be no hiding it. Maybe you think of a cathedral like Lincoln or Canterbury Cathedral in the night there on its hill, and the lights, the arc lights, the spotlights lighting up the cathedral. And that would have been the way it was in Jesus' time, not arc lights or spotlights, but the temple would have been ablaze with light nonetheless. And it's during one of those such festivals, the Festival of Tabernacles, John's Gospel tells us, that Jesus stands up and maybe with the lights behind him says, "You think that's bright? I am the light of the world." In the Old Testament, we're told that Jerusalem and the temple are to be a light to the nations. They're to provide access to God once again. They're to be the route home, back to salvation, back to God. And Jesus points to the temple and say, "It's not there anymore. I am the light, not this temple." Jesus now is the city on the hill. Jesus provides the light, access to the Father once again. "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." And it's Jesus. The prologue to John's Gospel, which we read on Christmas morning, reminds us once again, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has overcome it. Or Simeon's song in Luke's Gospel, when Jesus is presented at the temple, Simeon breaks into song, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to give glory to your people Israel." And Jesus is the city. Jesus is the temple in the heart of the city. And Jesus is the lampstand, the menorah, the seven-branched lampstand at the heart of the temple, lighting up the way back to the Father. In modern day terms, it's a bit like an aeroplane runway, or as I've just said, the harbour lights guiding the traveller safely back to land. City, temple, lampstand, guiding to the Holy of Holies. You can see the runway, as it were, back to God's dwelling place here on earth. And Jesus says, it's me. I am the light. I am the city on the hill. I am the one who's guiding you safe back to the Father's presence once again. But you know, Jesus soon shifts the focus. He knows that his bodily ministry, if you like, physically here on earth, it's limited. He only has limited time here on earth. And so he hands his mission on to his disciples, the first church. They take over from him, and we become his body. We corporately are Christ for the world. Jesus has said, I am the light of the world. But here in Matthew's gospel, he says, you are the light of the world. He hands it over to his disciples. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before people. You are the city on the hill. You're like a lamp being placed on a lampstand, not to be hidden under a bowl or a bucket. The imagery of the church then as the city, as the temple, as the lampstand. And that imagery is taken up throughout the whole of the New Testament. It's there in the book of Revelation. It's the picture at the end of Revelation of the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city. And that's us, the church, you and me. Not just the citizens walking around the city, but making up the walls, making up the buildings. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read that we are the stones, the living stones. I like the old version, the lively stones. I feel quite lively sometimes. The living stones. And in Revelation, those stones are not simply bricks, but precious stones. So imagine this picture then. Imagine a building, a crystal palace, with walls not made of bricks, but made up of all sorts of cut, honed, polished, precious stones. That's us, that's you and me. Not a brick, a common or garden two, a penny dull brick, but something precious and valued in the hands of God. So imagine that this crystal palace, this building made of walls of finely polished stones, precious stones. And now imagine that there is a light inside that building, and the light shines out and is reflected and refracts into the world like light shining through stained glass windows or a mirror ball. Mirrored here, may our lives tell the story. A chandelier, a crystal chandelier. This is what we need then. Transparent Christians. What does that mean? Transparent Christians, see-through Christians. Paul says, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Our strapline as a church is that we want to be people who introduce others to Jesus. When they look at me, what do they see? Do they see me? Or can they see Christ that lives in me? Am I transparent enough to let Christ shine in me and through me for all the world to see? There's an old chorus that was way back in the 1970s, I think, that goes like this. Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finely honed, light of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. I wonder what your perfect church would look like. Here's my vision of the perfect church. A church with Christ, the light, at the center of it, shining out through walls made of precious stones, you and me. A church that is like a city set on a hill, like a temple or a cathedral, shining with the lamps, standing on the lampstands, guiding people safely back into the arms of a loving Father. I hope that's a vision that you can catch hold of as well.
A candle cannot light itself. It needs to receive light from another.
Thank you, God, for the light that you shine into us. Help us to reflect your light and pass it on to others.
A candle, whether it can give away its light without losing the light it has.
Thank you, God, that you give us so much love that we can give away love to others without losing what we already have.
A candle burns as bright when it is new as when there is only a small amount of the original candle left.
Thank you, God, that whatever age we are, young or old, we can still be used by you to be a light for you to each other.
A candle's light is sensitive, reacting to the slightest movement of the air around it.
God, thank you that you pick up every little thought and feeling that we have because you care about us so much. Help us be sensitive and kind to others.
A candle's light is the same, whatever the size, shape or colour of the candle.
Thank you, God, that we all matter to you and are of equal value to you, even though we are each very different. Help us to see the light of your love burning in everybody we meet.
The candle's light is designed to be seen as best placed, hope you can give light to all. It's not for hiding away.
God, please help us not to hide our light away, keeping it to ourselves. You want us to be light and bring light to as many people as possible.
The candle's flame burns upward while it sheds its light outward.
Help us, God, to put you first every day and in every situation, so the light from our flames grows tall, sending out more light to others.
Unless the candle light is passed on, then that light dies when the candle itself comes to an end.
You want your light to be passed on to others, God. You are the light of the world and you call us to be the lights to the world. Thank you that even when we cannot see you, you are still with us. May your invisible light shine brightly in and through us. Whatever we go in all days ahead, amen.
Shall overcome, yet the I hope it.